tuned for Upstage.
Good evening. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca, the show about theater on the radio, from drama to musicals to burlesque to comedy and everything in between. I'm your host, Sarah Day, recording from home on March 4th, 2021. On tonight's show, my guests. Performer and creator Véronique Raymond on the science of theater.
I love science. My dad is a chemist. Science is part of my life. And I strongly believe in the fact that we need more data around theater to better explain how it contributes to our collective well-being and to the progress in our society.
Mara Tier, a graduating student at the National Theater School on new show, Everybody.
As this year has progressed and I've seen that how resilient the art world is to any challenge, I'm like, I'll be totally fine. And me and my classmates are going to be really okay because I have done a self-tape where I just got like a table. I stacked a stool in it and a bunch of books and I propped my phone up and pointed a lamp and I was able to make a self-tape. So it was like, I don't know. I'm feeling a lot more hopeful than I think I was expecting.
And Louise Lapointe of Festival de Castellier.
We talk a lot about the theaters and the festival organizers, or it's difficult and we change plan. But the artists are really, really suffering from this because they need to see and meet the public. It's their art. It's the basis of what they create for. That's one of the saddest part of this whole crisis.
We have so much to get to, and there's a lot of theater for you to check out this coming weekend. But before we begin, a few updates. We are now nearly a year into the COVID-19 pandemic, when live art and a lot of other things got put on hold. As case counts drop and mass vaccinations begin, the Premier of Quebec has promised to look into eventually reopening arts venues. But that could still be a ways off, for Montreal at least. The province announced yesterday that regions like Quebec City will head into the orange state of alert on Monday, allowing for some gradual reopenings in those regions, like restaurants and sports resuming. But Montreal, Laval, Laurentians, and the Montérégie are still in the red, with the curfew remaining at 8 p.m. until the next foreseeable future. But some positive news as well. In the meantime, the Stratford Festival in Ontario is going back to the basics. Organizers say they are planning for about a dozen live events in person, starting in late June of this summer and running until the end of September. And it will look very much like how the festival first started out back in the early 1950s, under tents. Taking inspiration from the early days, the festival will show plays and cabarets underneath two different canopies, seating up to 100 people in socially distanced pods. The lineup will be unveiled in the spring. Visit stratfordfestival.ca for more information. Now on to our interviews. I read somewhere this week that if you want to change someone's mind, you don't do it with facts and figures. You do it with stories. One Montreal theater artist has teamed up with a psychology researcher to see if documentary theater is effective at doing just that. And they need your help. Véronique Raymond is a performer and creator. You've heard her on the show talking about her work with the Tutu Cool Festival. She's a joy to speak with. Her very personal one-woman show is about trying to have a baby, and her performance is being used as part of a study to measure how stories can influence audiences. Véronique is working with a doctoral student in psychology at UQAM named Mylène Bérubé. Véronique spoke to me earlier this week about the research and how you can get involved, as well as getting a free show out of it as well. Re-bienvenue, Véronique, to Upstage. Nice to speak with you again.
Thank you for inviting me.
How have you been? It's been a couple months since we last spoke.
We've been busy, very busy, learning a lot about life, the live arts outside of our venues, learning a lot about Zoom and a lot about online relationship with the audience.
And so I wanted to have you back on because you are doing, I guess this is almost, I'm not sure if this is a project you would be doing, you know, if we weren't in a pandemic, kind of figuring out audience reaction to seeing plays. It's this interesting study. So if you want to help Véronique out, but also see some theater, an excellent piece as well, this is a really neat opportunity. Why don't we start by talking about In Vivo, very personal one-woman play that you developed a couple of years ago. In Vivo, Testé sur moi.
Yes, absolutely. It started in 2017, and it's a documentary play. So it's been evolving. I've had two runs, if you want, in 2017 on the same script. And then it evolved, and we had a third run in 2019. So it went from 45 minutes to an hour and a half. And now this fourth laboratoire is 2 hours, and it's not over. There will be a fifth and hopefully final version of the script. But since it's a documentary approach, I'm really following the reality. So that's why it's developing like this. The focus of the play is about my own struggle with reproductive rights and reproductive issues. So I tried to have a baby and it did not work out. And then I started fertility treatments, and I learned about a universe I never thought existed, and I had a lot of ethical questions and a lot of struggle with the medical system and a lot of sexist issues. So it's a very feminist play, but I think mainly it's a play about our collective future and the fact that the environment has attacked our fertility a lot. There's been a decrease of more than 50% of sperm concentration, mm-hmm. and there's been a very big impact also on oocytes. It's very difficult to pronounce, ovule in French.
Yeah.
And so the infertility rate went from one couple out of 12 to one couple out of six. And of course, I'm only talking about heterosexual couples, because there's a lot to talk about for like the what we called in French l'infertilité sociale. So it's a very, very rich topic, and so I've been working on this since 2017. Voilà.
So now you want to suscite les réactions, to kind of gauge audience reaction. This is a scientific study that you're doing. It's so interesting because when you first do a show, right, you want to know, you get immediate feedback from your audience performing live back in 2017, right?
Yes.
The response is instantaneous. Now with our theater online, it's a bit different. But now you're really want to check in and asking questions. What do you want to know about audience reaction and what they're processing when they see a show like this, that, as you said, there's a real richness to this topic and your story?
Well, actually, the study is being carried out by professional people from LUCAM. Mm-hmm. It's a PhD that is driving this study. And it started in 2017 when I was doing the show lives. They actually did a pre-study to see if there was any interest in measuring the impact of a documentary play on the perceptions, the attitudes, but also the beliefs of the audience members. Because one of the things we've learned is that it's very difficult to change beliefs, yeah. And to change them in a way that will last over time when we discuss. But sometimes there are other ways to change the beliefs. And one way could be theater, or where you have an emotional experience.
Right.
So they wanted to validate what the people think before the play, what they think after the play, and then later on, will their attitude, beliefs, and perceptions will stay over time or not? And so in 2017, what was planned was that we would do this actually this year in 2020 in persons, and we were supposed to do that in venues in Cégep, in Montreal, Quebec, and Sorel. But of course, there was the pandemic. And so we've decided to move the study online. They had to go through the ethical boards again, mm-hmm. and redefine the study. But right now, that's what we're doing. So the people that want to see the show have to participate to the study, but then they get an access to the 2-hour video of the show as it was played out in front of an empty room in last November. And they have to accept to complete 3 surveys or questionnaire, one before the show, one right after the show, and then one 7 to 14 days later.
This is so fascinating because it's a question that keeps coming up right now as we have so many people who are skeptical about COVID-19 or skeptical about the vaccine. And I guess the overall message is that facts actually you think would be very concrete way mm-hmm. to explain something of utmost importance to other people, but facts don't really do the trick. It's more about emotions and stories, as the hypothesis of this research is kind of hinting at.
Yes, because documentary is a mix of both of the things you just named. It's both facts, but how those facts impact on the human being that is in front of you and that is struggling with emotions. So that's where there is a very interesting area to study, you know.
Speaking with Véronique Raymond, theater creator, the woman behind In Vivo Testé Sur Moi, and the research project that is also, we're talking about the research project attached to the piece and the audience reaction itself. Véronique, I'm curious about who approached who. Did the team come knocking on your door back in 2017 to say we'd like to do this?
I'm very lucky. Mylène Berbé, who's in charge of the research, has a baccalaureate. Oh my God, I'm sorry, my English today is really bad. She studied theater first and then moved to psychology. So she has both background, and she was looking for a way to do some research that would touch both of her expertise. Mm-hmm. And so she came to me. And she said, I have an idea. And what I agreed to in the first place was actually to let them test something around my show, but I had no idea what they were testing.
Okay.
So it was really fun. They were there to greet the audience. They would give the program for the show, and then they would talk about their research and ask them if they wanted to participate. And they would do it when the audience was leaving. And then later on, more than a year later on, they showed me that there were significant things they were able to measure and that it was really worth it for them to do a more organized or serious research. So that's how it happened.
Was part of the did you not know what exactly they were going to ask the audience? Was that part of, the scientific procedure? Just want to impact how you were telling your story.
We keep a good distance. Mylène has seen my script and how it changes. And of course, I had to provide, a copy of my play for the boards and all that. But since my play is evolving, it's impossible for them to have the final product. Mm-hmm. Plus, I didn't want to interfere with them. And they're very serious about ethical questions. So for instance, when someone gets a ticket to come see the show, they don't have access to the email addresses. So they cannot identify who is replying to their research and all that. They have a very set, strict of rules. And it's a very interesting experience to participate, to collaborate with them. But we have to keep, strong boundaries, who does what.
Right, yeah. In order to kind of safeguard the, it's funny, normally we talk about safeguarding the creative process and the independence of the artist. But here it's we got to keep things separate so that the scientific research is gold standard.
Yes, and I wouldn't want to change my content for them,
So it goes both ways.
Yes, absolutely.
What has this been like for you as a creative person, as an artist? And not only that, but you're telling a story that is so personal, but it's you're telling a larger story. It's not just about you. There's a lot of research that went into this. But here you are going kind of side by side with a psychology study.
Yes. I love it because I'm a science nerd. I love science. My dad is a chemist. Science is part of my life. And I strongly believe in the fact that we need more data around theater to better explain how it contributes to our collective well-being and to the progress in our society. If we go really way back, theater was used, you know, for debates and to not educate in a pedagogical way, but in a way to make ideas progress. And I strongly believe in dialogue, and even a two-hour one-woman show is for me a way to dialogue, or at least to provoke some type of dialogue. And so I strongly believe we need theater, and we need live arts. Dance is also a way to provoke debate. I do believe that. But since we don't have much data to support this, we are always underserved when we participate in trying to justify why we need to invest in, you know, art education, mediation. There is a lack of data. So to me, any opportunity to contribute to the development of ideas at any level, I will say yes.
Yeah, it's also so brave too. To kind of fold this work in with this larger message. But I love that you point out you're a geek yourself, and
yes.
Kind of gratifying to have this research happening at the same time as the unveiling of your to a new audience of your work. So there's a couple more opportunities people can have to help out and do the survey. So how would this work, Véronique, if we wanted to see your play and then participate in the study?
Absolutely. We were supposed to do only two shows, but then we were a bit overwhelmed with the requests because there were people actually in France that wanted to see the show. And so they asked for additional dates. So we've had already three shows. We've added March 6th at 2 p.m., which will be very convenient for audiences that are not in Quebec, but anyone, of course, can participate. You go online on our website at toutoutcourt.com. toutoutcourt.com. And then you register for the study. We will send you out the questionnaires and you will be able to get a password to have a ticket for the show. But if March 6th at 2 p.m. is not a good time for you, we're also offering a video on demand until March 14th. So people have to register and then email us and tell us what day they would like to see the show. So we give you a ticket that is good for 24 hours at the date that you've picked from now on until March 14th.
And I'll repeat all that in just a couple of moments. Véronique, it's so interesting because scientific research studies like this can take years to get results. Same sometimes as an actual theater piece can take years yes. to develop and be presented to an audience. Is there at any point a time where you and Mylène will be able to kind of present findings or talk about her research in an open platform at some point?
Yes, Mylène, one of the things that we agreed on, she agreed that she would prepare a document that will be sent out to everyone that will participate to the study. So we expect a timeline of 2 years. This is long, but that's the way research happens. So in 2 years, she will be sharing a document, like a synthesis, if you want, of her findings with everyone that participated. And of course, she has to do her thesis on the topic and will probably be writing some scientific articles as well. We hope that we will also be able to share it with the media. It's actually in the plans. So, voila.
Can't wait. Véronique, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about In Vivo and how people can help you, but also help the scientific process to learn yes. about how theater can change our minds. It's much appreciated.
Thank you so much.
That was Véronique Raymond, creator and star of In Vivo, Testé sur Moi. You can watch Véronique's show, which is in French, and also take part in a study. Visit her website at toutoutcourt.com/inscription-études or email info@toutoucourt.com. And that's spelled TOUTTOUTCOURT.com. As Véronique mentioned, there will be a screening this Saturday at 2 p.m. And if that timing doesn't work, there is an on-demand option. I'm Sarah DeAy, and you're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca, coming to you from my home yet again this week. Still to come, this is the second year in a row that COVID-19 has impacted the work of Louise Lapointe and her festival, but her energy and passion has not been diminished one iota. Students at the National Theatre School have had to adapt their studies this year, just like everyone else. But back when preparation began to stage a graduating play titled Everybody, no one yet knew that COVID would be playing its own role, imbuing a story about life and death with new meaning. Brandon Jacob Jenkins' script is based on a play from over 500 years ago, titled Everyman. In our show today, the main character, Everybody, is being held to account for their life and all the aspects of it. As director Anita Rochon put, quote, "We are doing the same thing, from our relationships to politics to our beliefs, with almost every aspect of how we live our lives. And we're not alone. Everybody is doing it." End quote. The graduating students' presentation is available now for your viewing pleasure online. Actor Mara Teer is in the cast. She is from Saskatchewan and has made Montreal her home while studying at NTS these past few years. Mara says the pandemic has made her and her cohort more resilient than ever. Mara Teer spoke with me earlier this week. Welcome, Mara, to Upstage. So nice to have you with us. How are you doing?
Hi, thank you. I'm good. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. So who could have predicted this would be the final year of your time at National Theatre Acting Program? So what is your day-to-day
like? I definitely didn't see this one coming.
What is the day-to-day like for an acting student right now?
Right now, especially with doing shows, because the grad year at NTS is basically like your networking launching out year. We do about 3 or 4 shows as a season. And so especially doing shows, most of our time is spent in rehearsals. We don't have any other classes on top. So we usually rehearse from, well, now with the curfew, we rehearse from around 9 to 5:30. So you're in and out of rehearsals and then you go home, and then anything else extra has all been on Zoom. So the only thing we really go in person for is rehearsals, but any of our music classes or lecture classes we've had over Zoom.
I'm assuming that you probably prefer to be, you know, around people and to do that rehearsal in person as opposed to Zoom.
Oh, definitely. Like we had our first 2 days, like our first read through and meeting our director over Zoom, and then it was really funny because our director, Anita Rochon, she was 6 months pregnant when she was directing us.
Oh, wow. But
we only saw her from shoulders up. And so the day before we met her, she's like, "Oh, right, by the way, I'm really tall. Also, I'm 6 months pregnant." And it's just like so different coming into the space and like seeing each other. Yeah, it was crazy.
That makes me kind of wonder about what it's like to be around your colleagues and stuff like that. I assume there was kind of a break where you weren't seeing the other students, and to actually be together again, like, must have been so strange.
It was. It was even weirder because we're used to spending our summers apart, because usually people go back to their hometowns for the summer and work and live with their families. Mm-hmm. But then when we come back, we could like see each other, we could give each other hugs or whatever. But coming back after this, it's like you see them, but you can't touch each other at all, which it was so strange. And then now getting used to just seeing their eyes and nothing else.
And in Anita's case, learning that she's actually pregnant. And
yeah.
So something Anita had said was, to talk about the play itself, Everybody, was that when they started talking about presenting it, COVID-19 wasn't necessarily a going thing yet, that it wasn't kind of part of the process. And strangely enough, this play does talk about death and how that kind of touches everyday life. Can you maybe tell me about just where Brandon was going with this story? It's interesting, he's bringing inspiration from centuries and centuries ago, right?
Yeah, it was really interesting because the role that I played in this show was the role of the usher. And so basically the usher is this character that kind of exists outside the realm of the show. And it's the character's literal purpose is I come in and I have this huge 2-page long monologue of explaining the history of like Every Man, which was the 15th century play it was based off of, which was also based off of a Dutch play, which was based off of a Buddhist fable. Like it's just this huge, massive history. And then I come back at the end of the play and I talk about like this new adapted moral that Brandon Jacob Jenkins wanted the audience to leave with. And I think, because the original play, Every Man, was very much about like, very much through a Catholic lens of like, if you sin too much, you're going to go to hell. So you need to account for all of your bad doing so that you can come hang out with us in heaven. Whereas at the end, Brandon Jacob Jenkins really turns it into like the idea of like, we only do have one life and one world. And to like, there's a line at the end of the play that's like, the moral of the play is like, maybe we should be a bit better about recycling. Like, it's just, I don't know. I think it's the idea that we don't actually know what will happen after we die. And then Brendan kind of reframed it into a way of like, well, since we can't come back and we don't know what's going to happen after we die, all we have is right now and the world that surrounds us and the people that surround us and our own actions. So I don't know. I thought that was really beautiful.
What kind of discussions were you guys having within your class, within the crew and cast about, you know, the meaning of the play and what Brandon's trying to say? Was that informed by what's going on right now?
Definitely. We talked about, on our one of our first days, we talked about the idea of a reckoning and the impact of like this thing in your life of coming to terms with something really intense, and people discussed like their own personal reckonings and these life-changing events that really they weren't the same after they confronted them. And that really fed a lot of the a lot of the heart of the play of like thinking about those things that we've seen in our life that changed us forever and made us view the world in a different way. And then we took that conversation and it put it into the idea of like life and death, which is very intense. And I think we talked a lot about how, I don't know, especially with COVID and with everything that happened over quarantine with Black Lives Matter and protesting and then the changing, even like the election in the States and the storming of the Capitol, like all of this stuff, it's like we're living through so much history being made and so much of the world reckoning with things around us. And I think that really, I don't know, I'm kind of rambling, but it's kind of that idea of like, why are you putting on this play? Why now? And I think we had conversations about what's going on in the world around us. And it kind of just made sense that we're like, of course we're doing a play about death and then figuring out how we want to lead our lives. Now, I don't know. We had some really beautiful discussions around the building of our land acknowledgement of the idea of taking care of the land and having a connection to the land. Cause that really, taking care of the earth was something that was also, like I said, was really prevalent in this rendition of this play.
Okay. The land acknowledgement being a statement before a play or, you know, in other cases, lectures or events where you're saying in Montreal specifically, you know, this land is called Chirchage and to talk about that. So you're saying that everyone kind of had a hand in shaping what the statement was going to say?
Yeah, we as a class have really been, we've had several discussions over the years of our time together as a cohort of figuring out the way we feel best and best serves what we feel land acknowledgement should do. We've had, it's grown and changed and morphed. And so we, in this process, we, the cast and the crew kind of got together and we talked about why we're doing this play, but then we also talked about how this play could connect since we are telling this story on Turtle Island, like how this play will connect to like the fact that we're telling stories on the land that we are.
So, I
don't know. I think it was just very much the conversations we had were about looking out at the world around us and then thinking about why we're doing this play now. And I don't know, it was kind of like very timely to do a show like this.
It sounds really like momentous, and the timing is everything, right? Sometimes you can't plan for that. And it seems like that was a mixture of just incredible timing and putting together a play with these themes at this time. And as Anita had said, and I think on the website I was reading this, that she, you know, we didn't realize what this was going to kind of mean. I'm speaking with Mara Teer. She's a third year acting student at NTS. You can catch her in Everybody. So the process, so this is, you know, the big kind of not crowning achievement, but it's the big last project of, you know, the end of a 3-year journey. You're going to be graduating in a couple of months and then heading out into the real world, quote unquote. What is it like for you right now, you know, about completing this degree and this program and heading into the, you know, audition, the world of auditions when, you know, we are at the way the world is at this moment?
Definitely. I think I was way more scared about it when, like, I was getting all the information of NTS was emailing us and being like, we'll see you back in August or like in September or whatever, and we're going to do the best we can. I think I was like feeling quite pessimistic and down. I was like, things are going to be the same. Like, I won't get my grad year back. But especially since like talking to agents and also just like having done 2 productions in a pandemic and like learning how to self-tape and all those different skills that come along with being an actor, I think there's a really unique opportunity for the art world of using the digital realm to share art, because it means people from across the globe can collaborate with each other without having to like book flights and be in the same city. Like, you can have a Zoom meeting, and like over the summer I was able to do a reading of The Tempest with Shakespeare on the Saskatchewan, and we did it as an online reading, and like half of us were in Saskatoon, I was in Calgary at the time, and we were able to put on this show from like in our living rooms or something. So I think I'm actually, as this year's progressed and I've seen that how resilient the art world is to any challenge, I'm like, I'll be totally fine. And me and my classmates are gonna be really okay, because I have done a self-tape where I just got like a table, I stacked a stool in it and a bunch of books, and I propped my phone up and pointed a lamp, and I was able to make a self-tape. So it was like, I don't know, I'm feeling a lot more hopeful than I think I was expecting.
It's amazing how we've all had to kind of adjust and learn new things. Like, I've learned how to use Zoom. A lot of people who might have done interviews or done meetings online, there's been that adjustment period. We don't necessarily think about how that's changed the experience for actors and writers and directors, right? But that's, you're entirely a part of that learning curve. So you feel, it sounds like you feel confident having to pick up all these like new skills and new ways of doing things in your final months.
I think so. I think it's because it's kind of new to everyone. So I don't feel like, I don't feel behind at all, but I also don't feel like I'm an advantage, because I'm like, oh, I know everyone else is figuring out how to use Zoom as well. And that kind of, the pressure's off of feeling like I need to be on it all the time.
Mm-hmm. And you just mentioned Saskatchewan, Shakespeare in the Park, or Shakespeare online, I guess.
Yes.
The other nice thing too is that here's your final performance. It's online. People can stream it. I'll have more information in a moment about how anyone can check in. So friends and family back home, or anywhere in the world for that matter, can see your big final project with you as the usher from anywhere in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was really cool to do that, because a big thing is like having for the grad season is having your friends and family and partners and supporters who have been with you and helped finance you or comforted you through these past 2.5 years to come and see the fruits of your labors. And it was kind of like, I was sad, because I was like, I don't know if anyone I love is going to be able to see my work. But then being able to show them a video, it's obviously not the same, but it's still like, I don't know, I really want to share what I've been working on with the people that have been supporting me since day one.
And all they have to do is click on the link. And
exactly.
Mara, it's been so much fun getting to know you and hearing about your experience. Thank you for sharing that. And it's already filmed. It's online. We can still say break a leg, but wishing you all the best as you graduate from NTS in the coming months.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Thanks for chatting with me. This was great.
That was NTS student Mara Tier. Catch her and her cohort in Everybody, now streaming until Saturday, March the 6th. Visit ent-nts.ca. It's pay what you think. You can make a donation after you stream the show. I'm Sarah DeAy. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at ckut.ca. Coming to you from my home yet again this week. A year ago, a troupe of traveling artists from China had to cancel their trip to perform here in Montreal. With the developments of a virus in Wuhan province then spreading through the country and that continent, the plans to come to Canada were shelved. At the time, we could not even imagine that this health crisis, the entire world away, would travel around the globe and impact all of our lives. The troupe was due to perform at the Festival des Castellers right here in Montreal, a celebration of puppetry and marionette work for both kids and adults, a staple of the Semaine de Relâche for many families in the city. And this year, the festival has had to adapt once again to the reality disturbed by the virus. They did have some plans for some small live events, but canceled them a few weeks ago when restrictions did not ease up. Still, the Festival des Castellers has a very full set of programming, including things you can do at home as well as outside. Festival director Louise Lapointe spoke to me earlier this week, fresh from having set up one of the companies taking up a residency during the festival. Welcome back to Upstage, Louise. How have you been?
I've been well, busy, but very good considering the situation. It's been such a strange year, but we're happy that the festival is still happening.
Oh, yes. I'm so glad to say that there's content and you're busy. I know that the changes according to what can open and what can't open made some last minute changes for you.
Yes, yes. Unfortunately, we were so close to have some people in the houses because we planned to have a small public in every show. But the last announcement made it impossible. So what we did is that each company can remain in the theater where they were supposed to perform. And it's transformed into a creative residency. So they can work for 4 or 5 days in a well-equipped theater and they can pursue their work. So this is the consolation prize for them.
And so are the performers able to present something at the end of it, or is it kind of, like, is there an expectation that they're going to have something that's been either filmed, available for viewing by the end of their quote-unquote residency?
What we decided to do is to record a capsule, which each one of them. We didn't want to go streaming shows because it's really such another trade and a complicated business. So what we did, we will meet with each company in the theaters and in the set they are working in, and we will talk with them and meet with them, and we will record some excerpts. And every day at 10:30 in the morning, each new capsule will be put online on our website. So at least the public can meet the artists, the different companies we had invited, and they can get to know them and get to know their new work and hope to see them live soon. So that's the way we do that.
Fingers crossed. It's interesting as this whole year has presented so many challenges to different kinds of artists, people, and with different kinds of jobs, and at running a festival, it creates this whole set of problems that you may not have had to confront before.
Absolutely. It's like a completely different festival, and the whole year we have different plans A, B, C. I think right now we're up to 5 different plans. So we, like I said, we expected to be able to do some live performances, but that was not possible. But still, we had also virtual or online events. So all our B2B network meeting, it will happen online, because every year at Castellier we welcome more than 30 programmers from around the world to come and see the performances. So this year, all this networking business will be done virtually on the web. So that was quite an organization, but it's very interesting. And I think it's opening new doors actually for the future. Even when we come back with live performances, we can still keep some internet connections like this. And yeah, we also have a very nice Ciné Castellier, a program with documentary and short animation films in stop motion. And we have a few streaming events like the Café Causerie, which is one of our trademarks. It's every Sunday morning of the festival. Every year, three or four companies, they come and they talk about their work in progress of their new show. So this event, we will do it live from the Petit Outremont. So people from everywhere can attend and see what's burning on the stove of the workshops.
So much to look forward to. A lot of theaters, some festivals have played with the idea of streaming live. I saw a theater piece from Théâtre du Nouveau Monde in the fall, and the Siegel Center a couple of months later. With puppetry and marionettes, is that something that people are looking at as actually being doable, or is it just too complicated to do that streaming or to record it?
I think it's the same complexity as other kind of live theater. It demands a lot of practice and adaptation of live performance to a streamed performance. So some companies are putting their energies into it, like, for example, La Fille du Laitier, for their wonderful performance, Macbeth Muet. They've been working for a year to transform it into a live streaming possibility to for this show. But as a festival, we decided not to go for that this year because, like I said, it demands so much expertise in the filming and in camera taping, and it's another experience totally. So we decided not to invest in that, but rather invest on the creative process of the artist.
Speaking with Louise Lapointe of Festival de Castellier, you mentioned stop motion animation and looking into, not live puppetry necessarily, but the same kind of art filmed. One of the highlights being the Oscars stop motion selection. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, it's our second collaboration with the Stop Motion Festival, Festival Montréal Stop Motion. Mm-hmm. And last year, we also presented some stop motions from Scotland and from Quebec. And this year, we said we want to collaborate again. So they did this beautiful program for us of short movies that are online for the next Oscars. They're all done in stop animation movies, and this is a part of puppetry art that we love also. So we're very excited about this program. It will be available all during the whole Festival of Castellier, and you can buy a ticket through the Théâtre Outremont ticket office.
Something else that you mentioned that you wanted to talk about is an exploration of the Grande Dame des Marionnettes de France, a documentary.
Yeah, it's a beautiful documentary that was produced by Noémie Géron, a French director. And it's about three excellent French puppeteers, Émilie Valentin, Greta Brüggemann, and Maryse Lebris. And it's a very well done documentary. It lasts about 1 hour. And it shows these three women in their workshops and also on stage. And they talk about the way they perceive puppetry arts and their work. And it's really touching and really food for thought. So I recommend that program as well. It's called Les Marionnettes naissent aussi.
This is really like watching kind of like grandmasters at their craft, right?
Yeah, and they're all very humble. So it's wisdom. It's full of wisdom, but with no extravagancies. But it's a lifetime of experience and of creative research. So it's very beautiful. I'm happy we can present it.
So that is going to be online as well. And that's a documentary about getting really into the art. The timing of Castellier is also very important because you're kind of meeting families where they are, in the sense that a lot of students are during Semaine de Relâche on spring break right now. So in terms of how you were configuring this for families and for children, which is a big part of who you're looking to reach, how have you adapted to kind of be there for families?
Well, since the beginning, Castellier has always been, the festival has always been in the reading week. Mm-hmm. This was how it started, and we always stayed in that month, that part of the calendar. And it's great because, yeah, we can, we address families. And so we always present shows that are for children or for adults. We try to have a balance in each programmation. This year, the different shows we had in the theaters, they were several of them were for children and for us, and some for adults. So for the family now, what we can recommend is the Marionette en Vitrine, the infamous sidewalk exhibition of puppetry in the store windows of the Outremont borough. So this is a beautiful activity for the family. This year, we have more than 120 puppets exhibited in the windows of 32 shops of the borough of Outremont. And today, this year, this exhibition is celebrating the 40th anniversary of the Association Québécoise des Marionnettistes, which is the Quebec Puppeteers Association. And so you can see so many examples of beautiful puppets made throughout the years by different members of this association. So it gives you a real portrait of the different puppet techniques that exist. So it's wonderful. And also we have for the family at the festival, we will have an outside performance called Apparition. And it's a it's a great live performance. It's outside, but because of the restrictions, we cannot say when or where. Okay. So it's a surprise.
It's so absurdist, isn't it? It's so funny.
But it's great. It's a beautiful puppet built by Michael Curry from the design of Daniel Leroy. And last summer, when it was possible, you know, to have those spontaneous performances in the parks, we did this, and it was so well received and appreciated that we say, okay, we bring it back for the winter time. So we are very happy to welcome again this mythical deer.
A mythical deer. Okay, we have to keep an eye out for that. And I'll mention that one of the vitrines that really stopped me in my tracks was the Home Depot at the corner of Park and Bernard. It has this beautiful big windows, and there's a beautiful puppet there, two puppets actually, that they can see that are really more than life size. Three.
Yeah, it's such a huge window. Actually, it's the Home Hardware store, and they are faithful collaborators for many years. And because of the size of their window, we always put big marionettes there. And those three are from the Théâtre de la Dame de Coeur in Upton, which are known for their gigantic puppets.
Well, it just takes your breath away. You also mentioned how you're still using the space that, you know, you won't be able to do live shows in the end, but opening up a space and letting companies come in and do their work, and then creating kind of like a capsule about what they're doing so people can see, kind of have this window into what it's like to be operated, to be producing a show. Can you tell me maybe just about one of those companies and what we can expect to see them working on?
Yeah, it's the program. Actually, you can see on our website the different performances. There is Stabat Pater, which will be at Théâtre aux Écuries by a young company called Pleurer dans Douche. And it's the story of an old man who's being he's being diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. Mm-hmm. But the show is very touching, and it uses puppets, the style of Les Sentinelles de l'Air, you know, what was it in English, the title? The string puppets in the 60s on TV. Space cadets. I don't know what it was like in English, but so this is it's a show for adults, and they will be rehearsing all week at Théâtre aux Écuries, and the capsule will show their work. And another example will be Harmonie Macroscopique. They are getting settled in Oboro. That's where they were supposed to perform, but they are setting up the whole set this week. And also we will do a capsule with them. It's the Ego Trip Productions. Mm-hmm. And the complete details are, like I say, are on our website. Also, what was very exciting for the very young, this year we had the Théâtre Pré-à-Porter, means ready-to-wear theater. And it's three short pieces for very young toddlers from 3 months to 3 years old. And this was three new creations done by three different artists, Nathalie Derome from Démos de la Dynamique, Anne-Sophie Touga from Cabane Théâtre, and Thierry Champ, who's a trumpeter from Le Groupe Le Vivier. And they worked with a Belgian company specialized in working for very young children. And so it's the end of this creative process that's been going on for the last 2 years. So we're very excited. And they will be working at Le Théâtre Le Jésus all this week. Okay. Also, we will do a capsule about them so you can get to know more about their creation for this very young public.
Yeah, what is it like to see the work without children?
Yeah, well, you know what they did is last week they had their first première. They went to a kindergarten, mm-hmm. And it went beautifully. Oh, the children were so happy and excited, and the artists were so grateful to be able to have a live public. You know, we talk a lot about the theaters and the festival organizers, how it's difficult and we change plan, but the artists are really, really suffering from this because they need to see and meet the public. It's their art. It's the basis of what they create for. That's one of the saddest part of this whole crisis. It's not only the organizing part, it's the the yeah. creative, the artists. They need to see the public, and it's very tough on them.
Absolutely. It's hard to believe, but a year ago when we knew that, you know, the situation with the pandemic, before it was officially a pandemic, but the situation was quite bad in China. And, you know, there was this sense that, you know, things might get to our doorstep, right? Mm-hmm. And Castellier was affected at the very beginning because you had a company that was supposed to come from China, right?
Yeah, last year it was the opening performance. We were waiting for 18 Chinese artists. And of course, then they had to cancel in February. So we had to turn around and find another solution. And what we did then last year was that we presented the captation of the show. We thought it was very wise. And since then, everybody's doing it, but that's how we overcame this difficulty. And we were so lucky last year because I think we were the last festival on the planet. Because 4 days after the end of the festival, the world shut down. So we are so grateful that we could have those last 4 or 5 days of togetherness.
Yeah, could you imagine a year ago that looking ahead, we'd still be dealing with this in March 2021?
Not that much, really. I thought we were the last and I would have liked to be the first. Yeah. We missed it by just a little.
Yeah.
But no, I think it's taking so much longer than we all expected. And still, we are very uncertain about the rest of the year. So, no, it's an unbelievable time.
Well, as you said, you've had to put forward so many plans and discard them at leading up until this point, right, over this mm-hmm. past year. So mm-hmm. I still commend you for putting together what you've done so far. And I'm sure people will have something, you know, to, like, it's still going to bring a lot of joy to a lot of families and to a lot of big kids' hearts to see what you've done regardless.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I hope so. And I think a lot of people do write to us and say, it's good that you're doing, that you're keeping on doing it. And so we have a lot of motivation and encouragement. And I thank you for yours too. It's going to be a joyful week, I hope. And also another activity we have online is a workshop for children from 3 to 5, and it's with La Marionnette des Émotions. And that's a beautiful project we've been developing with the Dance Academy of Outremont and Pantonal, the music school in Outremont. And we created for the last 4 years this beautiful little marionette. Mm-hmm. And she uses the three arts, you know, puppetry, dance, and music to deal with emotions. And it helps the young children to recognize and deal with their emotions, which is a big need in this society of ours. So we will give two virtual workshops for families during the festival with Me. And we look forward to that because if you go on the website, you will see this little marionette and she's already touching the hearts of many.
And it's so perfect too, especially when parents are kind of needing all these activities and things for their kids, right?
Yeah, we'd rather have them live like we do, but what to do? A few more months of screen activities, yeah.
Mm. Exactly. But to look forward to Castellier 2022 live and in the flesh.
Yes.
Merci beaucoup, Louise. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Sarah. À bientôt.
That was Louise Lapointe of Festival de Castellier. The festival continues until March 7th. Visit festival.castellier for more information. Castellier is spelled C-A-S-T-E-L-I-E-R-S. You have been listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca. This evening, you heard Véronique Raymond of In Vivo and Festival Tout Court on the Science of Theater, Mara Thier of Everybody, a graduating student at the National Theater School, and of course, Louise Lapointe of Festival de Castellier. A big thank you to all of my guests. I hope you can check out In Vivo, Everybody, or the Fest de Castellier this weekend. Mainline Theatre's Bouge DC Dance Festival has also just begun, and I hope to bring you more about it next week. Lots to see and do. You can hear past episodes of Upstage at CKUT.ca under Archives. Thank you to Tamara at CKUT for making sure this show gets to air, and thank you for tuning in. I'm your host, Sarah Day. Speak with you next time on Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca. And with that, until next time, stay home and stay safe.
Tonight, sweetie, I'm making you your favorite meal. It's the least I can do after an entire week of taking away your phone, going through your messages, calling you names, insulting your friends, and shouting at you. Yeah, tonight, I'm making you your favorite meal so I can start another week of taking away your phone, going through your messages, calling you names, insulting your...
Violence against women stops here. Contact SOS Violence Conjugale. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Vaccination against COVID-19 is now underway for priority groups. Visit quebec.ca/COVID-vaccine to follow the vaccination sequence planned for your area and book your appointment online. If necessary, you can also call 1-877-644-4545. Once you've been vaccinated, it's important to continue to protect yourself by following the basic health guidelines.
More than ever, the simplest gestures are our best protection to fight the virus. That's why we need to continue following basic health measures, such as keeping a 2-meter distance from others, wearing a mask and washing our hands regularly. Avoid travel and non-essential trips. And if you develop symptoms, be sure to get tested promptly and follow self-isolation guidelines. See all of the measures in place at quebec.ca/coronavirus. Let's continue to protect ourselves. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Frequency 98.3. That frequency is what you're picking up when you tune that radio.
Where are you?
Pressing.
Radio. Soundwave.
Soundwave.
CKUT. Montreal, Canada. CKUT.
The media is a story that you tell.
You are the media.
You then are the media.
You now are the media.